ESNY. All right, what up? Welcome back. Episode 111 of the Wide Right Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ryan Honey of Elite Sports New York and Elite Sports Radio Network. Robbie's back. What is it, third straight episode?
Yeah. I think it's third. Let's go over our mock.
How many picks did we get right? Zero out of 32?
A half. Give us a half.
Oh, you mean 21 we got right. Yeah.
We got half. Yeah. 21 we got right on the players, not the team.
McDuffie to the Pats, but McDuffie to the Chiefs. Well, you text me like, you got it right. McDuffie at 21. I'm like, yeah, not really.
Yeah, but we also, like, said no trades, which kind of, like, you know. Yeah.
Once I saw the Patriots trade back out of that pick, I was like, I think I tweeted, I was like, of course they did. Not because of, like, I had them picking at that spot, because, like, that's such a Belichick. The two biggest like predicted moves in this draft were Belichick trading back, and when did the Seahawks take a running back? Second round.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, second round. Pete Carroll and that organization has Geno Smith and Drew Lock sent to compete for the number one starting quarterback job. And they pick a running back early second round. Like, that was that and Bill Belichick trading back were like the two most. I was like, well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, if the Raiders had a first round pick, it would have been them picking somebody that was probably a day two pick, because that's what the Raiders always do.
They would have taken a receiver.
They would have taken like some, I don't even know who they would have taken. Some guy that went in the second round somewhere.
Yeah. They would have taken
Christian Watson. They would have taken Christian Watson at like 13. Like, that's just something that they would do.
They would have taken Malik Willis at whatever. They didn't have a first round pick though.
Yeah, because they traded it for Devonta.
Yeah, Devonta Adams, yeah. It was like, I think, and you were following it on TV, right? Not on Twitter, because you don't like surprises. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to wait for the pick to come through.
Right. You wanted the whole effect, because it's become such a TV show. Like, it's such a, because ESPN and NFL Network are like two picks behind always. And I remember texting you, I think it was when Stingley got picked at number three. I think I just said, holy shit, in all caps. And you're like, dude, stop. I'm like, oh, okay. He's not actually following on Twitter. I thought you were on Twitter. Like, I thought you had like those guys, like, you know, some of the beat, like what I do is I have the beat reporters, like, I have alerts. Like,
their notifications on. Yeah.
I had them for eight different people.
Yeah. It's actually funny, like, bringing that up. So when the Jets traded up to 26 to draft Jermaine Johnson, I saw, like, oh, they've traded the pick. And obviously, like, on ESPN, the pick wasn't in yet. It was the Titans have traded this pick to the Jets. So I went on my phone and I was like, all right, I want to see what the trade was. So I think, I don't remember who, I think it was Rappaport. And I looked and he showed the trade details of whatever it was. And then at the bottom, he was like, Jermaine Johnson finally goes off the board. And I literally was sitting there next to my roommate, Nick, and I was like, fuck. And like threw my phone. So he thought that they drafted
Did you think that they didn't draft Jermaine Johnson?
No. I was mad because I saw that they drafted him. Like, I'm happy they drafted him, but I was pissed because I wanted to wait for the pick to come in on ESPN. Right. I didn't think in the tweet it would be, this is the trade. Here's who they drafted. Like, so I was pissed that I saw.
Well, I sort of assumed that, like, guys like Rappaport and Schefter weren't going to tip picks off, because they were on, like, their respective network broadcasts as well. So you'd think they'd want to do what's best for the broadcast. They don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
So, but I'm surprised, I mean, I knew like they were gonna report trades, because they can just do that. But picks, I don't know. I mean, I knew guys Connor Hughes was tipping picks off left and right. He always does every year.
Yeah.
He's like three picks ahead. It's the same. The Athletic always has the guy, the basketball reporter for the Athletic, Shams.
Yeah,
he tipped the pick off. I'm like, where'd you find? Like, what source do you have? Like, you're not even like, you don't even report the sport, dude.
Yeah, they know some guys, I guess.
I know. Yeah, I mean, they all do. But yeah, I thought so. After Stingley went, I think. Listen, I didn't get too caught up in like all the reports that the Jets were going to take Ekwonu at four.
Yeah, I didn't believe that either.
I thought that was a total smokescreen. And even with the issues with Becton and George Fant's contract year coming up, like it was still a possibility to get tackled in the second round.
Yeah, well, I mean, they went in the fourth round, I think it was. Yeah,
but I'm saying at the time Louisiana. There was still.
Yeah, like, no, there was all that smoke, but I think there's always that smoke. There's always that, yeah. You know, who's, you know, like, you know, and it could come from the Jets. The Jets might be the one leaking. Oh, we really like Ekwonu. Yeah. Just to get people to maybe, you know, I mean, maybe the idea was to try to get somebody else to take Ekwonu, like the Texans or the Lions or, you know, the Jags, which obviously didn't end up happening. I think the Jets, you know, ended up getting Sauce, obviously the guy. I think that's the guy they wanted. Did you actually see the TikTok of Woody Johnson like leak, almost basically leaking that they were taking Sauce?
No.
So like he had a TikTok.
Was it as bad as Jerry Jones showing like their draft card to the media?
No. So he was showing a video of the draft room. He's like of the war room, as they call it, the war room. And he was like, oh, here's like, you know, here's where everyone sits. Like here's the stuff. And then, like, in the corner, there was, like, something covered, and you couldn't see it. And he was like, oh, he's, like, over there. He goes, there, that's, you know, where the secret sauce is. And, like, he said secret sauce, and everyone starts freaking out. They're like, secret sauce, like, Sauce Gardner, holy shit. And then they actually ended up taking him. But the thing is, I think by, you know, 2 hours or 3 hours before the draft, I think they knew how the draft was going to go. Like, I think they know. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the teams talk to each other and say, hey, it's too, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jags, like, yeah, we're taking Trayvon. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if they told, like, all the other teams. Like, I don't know. I mean, you don't really know if they talk to each other about who they're going to take. Especially since it didn't seem like anyone was going to trade up, like, into the top four.
Yeah, because there was no, like, no quarterback to really trade up for. And then, but, like, as far as, like, the draft board, how it shaped up, like, it was perfect for the Giants. Like it could not have been more. Like I always said for months, I said best tackle at number five and Thibodeau at number seven. Cause if Thibodeau is there at number five, he's going to be there at number seven because the Panthers at number six don't need an edge rusher. But then, but that's before I thought that's when I thought that like, there's no way all three tackles, meaning Evan Neal, Icky and Charles Cross are going to be there at five. I thought at least one of them was going to be off the board.
Yeah.
Once I saw
so all then you play it safe and just take Kayvon. And then
I was like, last minute, I'm sitting, not that I make any sort of decision for this organization. It's just like, in my head, last minute, I'm like, all right, just get Kayvon off the board. Like, don't even risk somebody trading up, swapping picks with the Panthers at six and taking Thibodeau. Like, you could still take Kayvon at five and have your choice then, of at least two tackles at seven. And that's what and it seems like between Neal and Cross, I would have taken Neal. Like, obviously, everybody's going to have a different opinion over which tackle out of the three was the best on the board in this draft. But if you're going to choose between Neal and Cross, like, I'm fine. I'm very much more comfortable with them taking Neal just because, like,
you know, he's a more NFL ready guy this year.
You don't really pass up on Alabama talent. Yeah. I mean, Mississippi State plays, you know, Mississippi State's big time as well.
I mean, they're playing good teams. So.
Exactly. It's not, you know, it's not Alabama. It's the SEC, but it's not those types of kids that are getting recruited from Alabama to Alabama and getting drafted. So my point is like, Evan Neal is the most NFL ready tackle, I think, of all three. You could argue
Icky has the higher ceiling and the more versatility. Upside.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm fine with Evan. And the thing with Evan Neal is like, you know, it's not like Andrew Thomas 2 years ago was like getting put at left tackle right away. Like last second too, because Nate Solder opted that out of that season. He was getting put at left tackle last second. Evan Neal's on the right side, and yeah, that's a big position, but it's not like blocking the quarterback's blinds. It's not the same.
It's
not as much responsibility. So I'm
but it's also good for him just because, like, if Thomas falters,
right,
then, you know, you have Neal who could, because Neal played left tackle. So if, you know, Thomas doesn't have a good year, Neal swaps with him, basically. You put Thomas at right tackle, not as much pressure. Hopefully he performs better. And Neal could play, obviously could play left tackle, obviously. Yeah.
You have flexibility. Like, if Thomas struggles, it's not a situation where you need to bench Thomas. You could switch him to the other right side. Tackle.
Yeah. And then Neal could step in because that's where he's been playing his whole career. So,
were you someone were you someone that, like, at number 10, or when the Falcons took London at 8, did you, like, cry? Or were you, or were you fine with Garrett Wilson?
I think that, like, when I was first looking at receivers, and once it came out that the Jets were taking receiver, I think Drake London would have provided Zach with kind of the missing piece of, you know, what the Jets have in terms of, like, that big-bodied receiver that can go up and get the ball. Like, he's that 50-50, I'm going to win the jump battle type of guy. And I think that that would have worked really well with Zach. But at the same time, I do think that there's cause for concern with every prospect. But I think with Wilson, you know, he's a better route runner. He obviously is faster.
Yeah.
I think with London, you're more worried about whether or not he can get, you know, separation at the NFL level compared to Wilson with his route running and speed. It's not as much of a worry. So I think that Wilson is more so like the safer pick, because if London can't kind of get that separation at the NFL level, then you're going to run into the issue where he is just a 50-50 type of guy, which is not what you want. Like, you don't, like, I mean, there's value in that, but picking a wide receiver at 8, you don't want a guy that's just a 50-50 ball type of guy. Like, you want a, you know, you want a premier guy. So that's why, you know, I think out of everyone that has, you know, the best chance at just kind of being a true wide receiver one, I think it is Wilson. I think, you know, London might have that higher ceiling because he's just that bigger bodied guy. Like, he could maybe be like a, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, Calvin Johnson, but, you know, kind of like that esque of, like, you know, going up and getting the ball. Obviously, he's not going to be as good as him. But, you know, but I think Garrett Wilson, you know, is a great route runner. I think Garrett Wilson has that speed that not a lot of people thought he really did. And he is good in the air, 50-50. You know, he has a pretty good big catch radius. So I really do think that he was the Jets' number one wide receiver. And they are happy that he was there. I don't think Drake was their number one wide receiver. Yeah. I truly don't.
Probably didn't think, I mean, it started to become this sort of narrative that, like, London was going to go to Atlanta. Like, even there are a couple things that did shake up in this draft that we actually did think was going to happen. One of them being that, like, not us specifically, but a lot of people thought it would happen. Not many quarterbacks, and there only ended up being one, and he didn't go to number 20. And just the number of wide receivers that ended up off the board in the first round.
We had many went on six? So many. Yeah, I mean, it was, what, London, Wilson, Olave, Jameson, Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks.
Yeah, that I knew I saw some mocks mocking Treylon Burks, like, late first round, early second. I'm like, nah, he's going, like, but in the teens.
Yeah, I was more surprised about Dotson going at 16. That's what I think. Out of all the guys, I thought Dotson was going to be a late first, you know, early, maybe possibly early second. I mean, in our mock, we had him. I mocked him at 26 to the Titans, which obviously, like, they traded up. To get Burks. I like Dotson, but I was kind of surprised to see him go at 16, especially with Burks still on the board. I just thought that was interesting. But I guess, you know, I mean, you have to think about fit with, like, Drake London, you know, although, I mean, they, first of all, the Falcons have zero receivers. Like, what was it? Zacchaeus or whatever is their number one receiver right now, which is atrocious. And, you know, having to guard Drake London and Kyle Pitts with that much size creates a matchup nightmare. Like, Pitts is way too athletic and way too big to put a to put a, you know, you have to put a safety on him. You can't put a linebacker on him. And he's, but like still, like the safety's not big enough to cover Pitts. Pitts huge. And then, you know, then you have London, who's what, 6'4"? Like, good luck covering him with a corner, or 6'3". Like, good luck covering him with a corner. So, and then you have to think with, like, you know, I, you know, Jahan Dotson, the, like, the Commanders obviously, you know, don't plan on losing Terry. I mean, whether or not he stays or requests a trade or whatever, it's still yet to be seen. There's obviously the discussion because he wants to get paid. But, you know, Jahan is kind of more so of that, like, quick, you know, after the catch type guy. Meanwhile, Terry is a true wide receiver one. Like, they have that. So they didn't really need, I don't think they needed Traylon Burks. I think they would prefer, I guess they preferred somebody that's more so like, you know, get on the ball in open space and let's see what he can do. Meanwhile, Traylon Burks is more so like, oh, I'm going to be that wide receiver one type guy, which he steps into now, obviously, with, you know, that trade with the Eagles, with AJ Brown going to the Eagles.
Oh my God.
The
Giants are having such a good night. And then all of a sudden, AJ Brown is in. I think it comes down to that quarterback, and I don't trust Jalen Hurts. Just like Tyreek Hill's in the AFC East, but I don't trust Tua. Did you see that video?
Oh, that video was so bad.
It looked like a punch. All of a sudden I see it's like Tua and then the rocket emoji and then Tyreek. And I thought like, oh, this video is going to shut a lot of people up. And
it didn't.
Then it ended. And I was like, that didn't exactly look like Mahomes to Tyreek, to say the least. Like, it literally looked like he fair caught it. He had to reach back.
It kind of looked like obviously Tua is, he's an NFL quarterback. He's obviously much better than anyone else, but it kind of looked like someone like me threw a ball deep 30 yards.
Oh, it was a shit drop.
It looks like I couldn't make it 30 yards. Like, that's what it looked like. It looked like he barely made it the distance, and Tyreek basically stopped running to catch the ball and then continued to run. Like, it did not look good. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm saying, like, if you're going to post that on social media with the way social media is now, you should have waited for a throw where Tua maybe, you know, got more of it and like really aired it out.
There had to be a better throw. That's the best throw that they caught.
He's done. Like, Tyreek is running slants the entire year.
Oh,
like,
God.
And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm in like a huge Discord and about fantasy football. And, you know, there's a Dolphins fan in there that brings up all these stats. Like, oh, well, Tua was the sixth most accurate quarterback downfield.
Oh,
like, stats mean only X amount. Like, at the end of the day, it's you watch the game and you see if a guy can throw the ball deep. And like, I was in this argument with this guy being like, dude, if I had a choice between throwing a deep ball with Tua or Zach Wilson, I'm throwing the ball with Zach Wilson. I do not care what the stats say.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson has a cannon. He can throw the ball 60 yards downfield. Yeah. Tua cannot.
I take Daniel Jones for a deep ball over Tua.
No, 100%.
I take anybody else in the league. I would say Tua
is the worst deep ball thrower in the AFC East. And I don't like him and Mac, you can maybe argue, but like Josh and Zach are by far better at throwing the deep ball than him. You could bring up all the stats, but stats only mean so much. Like, if a guy's wide open, that doesn't matter. It's about those balls where it's like you need to fit that ball into that window.
Yeah.
For instance, like I've never seen Tua. Yeah. No, Mac doesn't need to. But I'm,
you know, Brady never needed to.
Yeah. No. And like Brady did, but like he didn't really have to.
Yeah.
And
checked down Charlie.
But Zach had to last year. Like, you know, the throw to Corey Davis with, you know, the point and the throw, like that had to be on the money.
Yeah. Oh, I was just
like, if that was short, that's probably dead or broken up. Like, that had to be a money throw. And like, I could never see Tua throwing that. That was like a on the run 50 yards down the field. Like, there's no shot Tua is making that throw.
He's probably running Daniel Jones. They give Daniel Jones like so many people give Daniel Jones so many excuses, and the bar is so low for Daniel Jones, it seems. With Tua, it's more so. Like, there are many excuses for Tua, and there are still people in Miami, still Miami fans, believing in him. And, like, it's gotten to a point where, like, you know, Daniel Jones is coming up on a make-or-break year.
Tua is in a make-or-break year.
Tua
I don't care
is,
what
like, there's no
He's
there's
in a make-or-break
no debate. Year. I mean, they're both in make-or-break years, but, like, you know, Daniel's in year four. Tua already year three, it's like, nah, this got to be the year. Because
it does. Everybody, but that's the thing. Like,
People thought Daniel Jones drafted the Giants, picking Daniel Jones was a reach. Obviously, it's become like an infamous reach with the, you know, the collage of the fan reactions and like the people there are like, what the hell is this? With Tua, he was, you know, besides Burrow, he was supposed to be the number one quarterback in that draft.
Yeah, and he probably would have been if it wasn't for Burrow obliterating the NCAA.
If it wasn't for Burrow going from like a no name transfer from Ohio State to the best season of all time.
Literally the best season ever.
I'm literally one of the best college teams of all time. That team was stacked. And then he gets to the NFL 2 years later. He takes a team that had the same Super Bowl odds as Jacksonville.
I feel like that also speaks volumes. Like, look at the quarterbacks taken in that draft. It was Burrow, Tua, Herbert. Burrow went to the Super Bowl. Herbert is phenomenal. Won Rookie of the Year, broke all these types of records. And then Tua is honestly just there. And I think, like, I do think there's hate that goes to Tua that's undeserved. I still think he has this year to prove it. Mm-hmm. And I think that like completely giving up on him now is a little bit too quick, but at the same time, it's like there's so many excuses. Like people are like, oh, well, like from certain weeks, he completed 83% of his passes. Yeah. But the guy had like 225 yards a game. Like, congratulations. I could throw slant routes. Like, I mean, hey, listen, like you had, and like, and that's actually an interesting thing is like with like Tyreek there now, it's like that could add to it. Like add to, because obviously Tyreek after the catch is one of the best, if not the best in the league. So it's like, is it going to make him look so much better that they keep him? And like, I think, you know, my opinion on quarterbacks is this, like if you don't see an elite level, like at least the possibility at elite level play by year four, they should be gone. Like plain and simple. And that's the thing is like, I'm even saying like this year, like I need to see improvement from Zach. And then year three, if I don't see at least like somewhat close to elite level play, it's time to debate moving on, depending on the draft, obviously. Like if there's no one there, then don't.
Well, but, if you're that guy from Pro Football Focus, you probably wanted to move on from Zach now.
Yeah. Like, I can't remember the guy's name.
That thing you sent me where, listen, I disagreeing with trading up to draft a running back, especially that early in the draft.
Agree with like you don't have to,
especially when it was only
early.
He gave up a fifth round pick to move up two spots. Like did Douglas not think that Breece Hall was going to be there at 38, but he was going to be there. I don't know who had picked 37. I think it might have been Tennessee.
You also have to think though, like what if somebody else was trying to trade up? Like we don't know that. What if Buffalo was trying to trade up? Because that's like the, you know, the missing piece for them. I mean, I 100% agree with the idea that you don't have to draft a running back early, and that's why when they took him, I was shocked. I was kind of like, you know. But the thing is he does have that potential to be like a top 10 running back in the NFL. He really does. Yeah. Like he has that potential. So it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like. You know, did they take a running back too early? In my opinion, yes. But at the same time, like with the O-line they have and with his skills, mm-hmm. and especially having Michael Carter now be your running back too, like, I mean, you're possibly creating a Chubb Hunt type of dynamic, which takes a lot of pressure off of, like, I mean, look at the Browns offense. It was solid because of that. And that Baker was not very good.
You could have Earth, Wind, and Fire Part 2 with LaMichael. Add into the mix.
I don't know why LaMichael's even still on the roster. But like, that's the thing.
He's getting
cut
in August, dude.
Yeah. And, like, so people – and, like, there was a lot of – like, a lot – obviously, the Jets – Jets Twitter is absurd. Like, they took that tweet and were, like, going at this guy or whatever. And, you know, the whole tweet stemmed from, you know, a guy saying that, like, trading up is not worth it. Because the idea that someone gives you more value than two players, like it's slim or whatever. And, you know, and that point I completely and utterly disagree with, because like people said the same thing about when the Jets trade up for Elijah Vera Tucker, mm-hmm. like, oh, they traded up. They gave up, I think it was like three picks to trade up to get him. And then like they showed like this is what the Jets got and this is what the Vikings got, because that was the trade. And at the end of the day, like, Elijah Vera Tucker had a very good rookie year. And if he turns into being a stable, like a solid, a very good guard for the Jets for the next 10 years, like I do not care what they gave up, because you're also assuming that the Jets would have drafted those same, which is the entirety of the draft. Like if the player turns out to be a good player, it doesn't matter what they gave up at the end of the day. Like, unless it's obviously like you gave up like 3 firsts or whatever. Like, I just hate that idea. Like, that's the whole, in my opinion, that's the point of piling all these draft, piling up all these draft picks and all the draft capital. It's so you could trade up to get the guys that you want. And like, that's what I wanted the Jets to do. That's why when, after I saw all the draft picks they had, I was like, well, they should trade back into the first to get somebody. And then once I saw Jermaine Johnson falling, I was like, they have to trade back up to get him. Because to him, to the Jets, you know, he was a top 10 guy, I'm pretty sure, on their board. So, you know, like, if that's a top 10 guy, you have to trust the team's guts and go with it.
No, yeah. But the thing is like, that guy on PFF was like,
he told the Jets to take Malik Willis.
Malik Willis, could you imagine, like,
who went in the third round, first of all? Like,
this,
what?
This city, this market, this New York, New Jersey market would go up in flames if Joe Douglas was like, oh my God, they took Sauce Gardner, they took Garrett Wilson, they traded up to take Jermaine Johnson, which is okay because they're in win now mode. They've had this draft circled on their calendar for years with the Jamal Adams trade, set themselves up for this draft. The Sam Darnold trade did the same thing. They are in the position to trade up, and then he takes Malik Willis, I'm not even sure who his name is. I never heard of him, but
I don't know who he is.
It went viral. I think the video sort of went viral. So maybe if that was his goal, to go viral by like a crazy take, then good for him.
That's what I said. Like, you're either like first of all, there's never like the perfect draft. There's always people that have to pick it apart. And like you said, PFF is like the yeah, but like. The Jets legitimately could have taken at 4, 10, and 26 the top 3 players on PFF boards, and they still would have found a reason to talk bad about it. Because that's, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, it gets you clicks. Like, but, and like, he goes on to name all the other people that they should have drafted. And he names, you know, a wide receiver. He named a wide receiver, a multiple DNs, Malik Willis. And the only like position that the Jets kind of had, like, haven't drafted yet was Jalen Pitre, who played safety in college, but is projected to be a slot corner who the Jets already have. Like, the Jets have their slot corner. So it's like
he just they would have naming either, positions the Jets had just drafted the night before.
Yeah. He was like, oh, like, what about George Pickens? Where does George Pickens fit into the Jets lineup? They now have Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis as wide receiver 3, and Braxton Berrios, who, in all honesty, provides more versatility as an all-pro returner. I would, like, in terms of having those 3 receivers, if I had a choice between Pickens and Berrios, I'm taking Berrios because Berrios adds value in the slot and on the return. Like, Pickens is what, going to be the 4th option? Like, he's not a returner. He's not that type of guy. So it's like, that made no sense. The DN, they have Carl Lawson. They have Jermaine Johnson. They have John Franklin Myers. Like, okay. Like, right. why take another shot in a DN when he's going to be the 4th guy probably? Like, exactly. He just started naming off people that was like, dude, like, that's just like, if you're going to say that, I would have understood if you said, like, he didn't even say N'Kobe Dean, which I think would have been a fair person to bring up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Like, at least the position that the Jets could realistically target.
Like, if you were, like, say a specific safety, like I think Brisker was still on board. Like, Brisker, oh, the Jets need a safety. Brisker, or, oh, the Jets need a linebacker. N'Kobe Dean, or, you know, Muma, the guy from Wyoming, or, like, at least a position that would have made sense, but he just named all positions the Jets should not have drafted.
Yeah. What if they, I wonder what he would say if the Jets still had like their 2 second round picks. What if he said, would he say, like, you know what I would do? I would take another receiver and then I take Malik Willis.
Yeah. He probably would have. If the Jets stayed there and drafted, like,
they could alternate series. It'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be great. Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
But like, it's, yeah. I mean, like, I wrote, I was like, I wouldn't have traded up to draft Breece Hall, but, you know, I am not someone who really questions what Joe Douglas does. I don't think Joe Douglas is at all the reason why this team really hasn't had much success since he took over.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they don't win games this year, that's going to be a move that people start to question. Like people are questioning it now. You know, not everybody agrees that he should have traded up to, he should have drafted a running back that early, let alone trade up, especially when he was picking two picks later. If they don't win games, that's going to be a move that is questioned. You know, I don't think a move like Gardner isn't going to be questioned because, like, you had to take a corner there. You know, drafting a guy like Garrett Wilson and trading up to get Jermaine Johnson. But this is a type of move that, like, you know, you got to win now. You got
to
win.
Yeah. Or, you know, Breece has to be a dog. Like,
yeah.
No, I mean, but even if Breece is a dog, but if you go like 7-10, but Breece has like 1,500 scrimmage yards, I don't think people are going to be like, oh, they shouldn't have traded up for him. Like, I mean, the guy went for 1,500 scrimmage yards. Like, at the end of the day, like.
Well, dude, the Giants won six games, but Saquon had 2,000 scrimmage yards.
Yeah.
And everyone still criticizes that pick.
Though Saquon was also taken second overall. Like, I mean, there's a huge difference between getting drafted that early. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like,
could be worse. They could have taken Darnold.
Yeah, that's true.
They could have taken Baker. Yeah.
Or Josh Rosen. They could have taken Baker. But they also could have taken Josh Allen.
They could have taken Josh Allen. Yeah. Or they could have traded back. That's what they should have done. They should have traded back.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, people. Yeah, and people always use that. Oh, look at the Jets when the Jets traded up to get Sam Darnold. Like, everyone always uses that. Like, this is what the Colts got because, you know, they used, you know, the pick to get who's the guard on the Colts? Oh, I always forget his name.
Quentin Nelson.
He's like, yeah. So like, they got him, and they got like three other like quality guys and stuff like that. And like, so people are like, well, that shows you. Like, I mean, the thing is, like this goes back to it. Like that does show you that, like. Yeah, like if you, but you're also like depending on nailing the picks. Like, what if the Colts at 5 when they traded with the Jets like pick some bum? Then it's just like, oh well, it's the same thing. Like, you know, if you don't hit on your picks, you don't hit on your picks. It truthfully doesn't matter how many picks you have; it just matters whether or not you hit. Like, and the Jets were trying to hit on quarterback; they whiffed immensely. Yes, but you know, if Sam Darnold was Josh Allen.
But they also whiffed on the coach.
Yeah. Well, I'm not blaming Sam completely for that. But, like, say that they did get a good coach and yada, 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 like, and they drafted Sam and he ended up being, you know, a starting quarterback, a top 10 guy. Who would be talking about that trade? Who would say, oh, that was such a bad trade for the Jets? You wouldn't. Like, if they turn out to be good, there's no question about whether the trade was worth it or not.
Right.
Now, it could be worth it for both teams. 100% could be worth it for both teams, but like the thing is like if you hit your pick and like you trust, like I trust, like I said, I trust Joe Douglas, and I don't think there's a reason to doubt the Breece Hall pick until I'm proven otherwise. Because if Joe Douglas is like, hey, I'm trading up, giving up capital to go up and get this guy, I trust it. And you could say I'm stupid because the Jets haven't won games, but like you said, I don't think Joe's the reason they haven't won games. And I think that, you know, I think like that's like the same thing though. People could say, oh, well, do the Colts, you regret drafting Jonathan Taylor early in the second? Obviously not, because Jonathan Taylor is a dog and he's like debatably the best offense player in the league. Now, I'm not saying Breece is going to turn out to be that guy, but you know, if Breece is solid, it's worth it.
If Breece, we'll see how it is. But thank you for coming on, man. Sorry, it had to be a short one. Glad we could get some talking about the draft and talk next week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, hey, I'm free really whenever, so let me know.
I'll let you know, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Of course.
And all right, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in to episode 111 of the Wide Right Podcast. Shout out to Rob. Rob's becoming a regular. Rob's already, what, 3 straight episodes Rob has been on? Once it's the off season, I always lose track. Like every time I record, I have to go to Spotify to check what episode I'm actually on. But regardless, shout out to Rob. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, follow me on Twitter at Ryan Honey ESNY. That's at Ryan Honey ESNY. Follow Rob on Twitter at Robert Lettinen. That's at Robert Lettinen, RobertLehtonen. And to get to listen to the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. And I hope to talk to you guys soon. And have a good one.